You've been watching.
The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. You're listening to Anthony Pipes Hall and Kelly Dr. K. Caulfield, and this is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Devil's Advocate. I'm Tony here with Dr. K.
Hang on, I'm jamming on the tunes. Give me a second here.
Come on, we got a show to do.
Okay.
We also got a special guest in the studio today, Sydney Holmes.
Hello,
from the Hub.
Hello.
Sydney, welcome.
Thank you.
From the Hub at TTU.
Yes,
TTUHub.net. Go to it often.
Yes, check it out.
Always, every day. We
lots of good content. Daily content.
Daily content. 10 things to know, special stuff like that.
Oh, they do fun stuff. Are you guys still doing the what's on your iPod feature? Have you sort of slowed down on that?
We are doing lots of man on the street things, not necessarily what's on your iPod.
Fun
but
stuff.
We go and kind of talk to people and make fun of them to their faces, but they think we're not. So it's fun.
That's
no,
how
we don't
it's
do that.
It's called satire, isn't it?
It's satirical.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm really funny, so.
And also, the Hub is the home of the only daily newscast in the Big 12. So you can look for that, too. MCOM TV.
The True. Big 12. That's right. The Sooners don't have it.
No, nobody
the
has
tech,
it.
You know,
the evil
Longhorns
empire
have
doesn't
it.
Have it. Exactly.
That's tech only, also. Big12TTUHub.net. That's my Josh Cook impression.
Josh was in the hallway earlier. It rubs off on us.
Yeah.
This weekend in the Big 12. Okay, sorry.
I love football.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with our show, this is The Devil's Advocate, and it's the show that's kind of like Ed Schultz, Rush Limbaugh, except what's different?
We take both sides of an issue, and we don't know which one of us is going to be arguing in that day.
That's true.
We have a special way that we're going to determine.
We know who's going to be right, me, but we never know who's going to be on what side of the aisle.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's what we do on the program.
Now that's the show. What is today's show going to be about?
It
feels kind of familiar. I was looking over what we were going to talk about.
Yeah, something
and
eerily.
It feels like we've been here before.
Eerily familiar in my headphones too. In fact, speaking of eerily familiar, Jason Kilhoffer's back producing for us today.
It's been a couple of weeks. We got our champion back in the studio.
Yeah, he abandoned us in November or December, something like that.
Yeah,
it's nice
he
to
got
back,
some so. Kind of internship at KTTZ,
a real
PBS
career.
Station. Yeah, doing real stuff.
Nicely done. But yeah, there is something familiar I hear in my ears. What is that? I think it's a montage we've heard before. Let's give it a listen.
It is called the fiscal cliff. Everyone's taxes set to go up on New Year's Day, plus $650 billion in spending cuts projected to cost the average American family $3,500 more.
The clock is ticking.
The deficit is a drag on our economy, and we can't continue to spend money that we don't have.
The president has been very clear that the higher income people have to pay their fair share.
Read my lips. No new taxes.
There have to be compromises.
To make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
A deal. Maybe the guy's a Republican.
And it's a plan to reduce our deficit in a balanced and responsible way.
Could you accept a deal that does not include tax rate increases for the wealthy? Is that something that's acceptable?
No.
The Democrats is doing the whole Democrats.
And you put them in there.
Now make no mistake, the goal of these folks isn't to do what's best for the middle class.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
We could solve the greatest economic emergency facing the nation today if only the House would consider the Senate passed bill freezing tax rates for 98% of American families and 97% of small businesses.
As I've said before, we can't just cut our way to prosperity.
Raising taxes on small business people is the wrong prescription given where our economy is.
There's no danger to the economy if the tax cuts for wealthy Americans are allowed to expire.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring. You mean like Democrats?
This is really ludicrous. The only way, I repeat, the only way we're going to solve this present crisis and get past the political stalemate is for the president himself to lead.
So let's get to work.
A lots of that was really familiar, actually. That was the montage from our last show last semester.
That's ancient. That's from December. I mean, surely all those issues have been resolved, haven't they?
No.
Okay.
No, not a single one of them has, actually. We've actually lumped on more problems with it, from what I understand.
Okay. I'm always nervous about saying sequestration on the air because I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong word. But anyway,
sequestration. Okay, so now we have our handy dandy coin flip app.
So your point is, here we are in February, right where we were in December, and it's because there was a little compromise that bought a couple of months that put off
an itty bitty one, a delay.
Yeah,
wasn't it December 31?
Well, no, it's actually January 1st. We went over the fiscal cliff for 12 or 18 hours, and then they came up with a compromise on the first.
Did you feel it? Did you like feel yourself falling, like all the money being sucked out of your bank account?
Funny you ask that, because we're going to talk a lot today about what sequestration means, what the fiscal cliff actually means. So, yeah, the truth is I didn't feel any different on the 1st of January as I did on the 31st of December.
Me neither.
I don't think anybody else did.
Even right now, teetering on the end of it again, I don't feel any different.
Yeah, I should be sweating this, but I'm really not. So
yeah, okay. So now, before we get more into it, before I start reminding you how wrong you are, I think we need to flip the coin.
All right.
I will call it today. All because right. I'm confident that I'm going to get the right side.
We're flipping a British pound today. Sorry, yes, not to be anti-patriotic. It just came up. It's one of the random coins available in the coin flip app on my smartphone.
We thought it would be a good way to just, you know, show a little homage to the motherland.
Exactly.
Not that we should be saying that because this is America.
Yeah. And I'm named Wilhelm Kaufholt, but go ahead. Yeah, you can run with that.
Okay, so today I'm going to go heads for liberal.
Okay, heads is liberal, and here goes the flip. Tails. All right, so you're the conservative, I'm the liberal, right?
Yep, that's the way it works.
Right, okay. Okay, you're the conservative, okay.
I was so banking on this. Let me get a couple of things straight.
That's okay, that's fine. You go ahead and drag us over the cliff, eviscerate the military,
please.
Destroy education.
Look,
Republicans in the House just won't make a compromise.
Look,
you
don't understand.
That's the problem.
Look, okay, stop. Jason has given us the stop.
Where's again. The bell?
He's so
I need the lie bell.
Okay, so here is point number one. We cannot cut spending without
You already raised taxes.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm stuck. Okay.
Okay. The president wants a balanced approach. Of course, we want a balanced approach. You don't. You can't cut your way to a solution, and that's what you guys want to do. That's your problem.
Right. Because wait.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
You're mixing me up again.
I'm the liberal.
Right.
You can't cut your way to a solution. We have to have revenue. We have to get the top 1%, top 2% paying their fair share. It's just not fair to saddle us all on the backs of the middle class by cutting all their programs like you're going to do this Friday by not compromising.
Who am I waving at?
Amy. Hi, Amy.
Oh, Amy.
How are you?
Great.
Amy Brewer,
she,
one of our favorite grad students out in the hallway, walked by and waved. So
confused me. For
what a
second.
Let's do
it
this.
It interrupted you. That's what I needed. So we're going to cut to a break, and you're listening to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
Also on Twitter and Facebook. We'll be back in two.
Start on
So let's talk about the fiscal cliff. And actually, it's the sequestration. I keep wrestling with that word because I keep thinking of another estration word, and I don't know.
Can't quite put your scissors on it.
Exactly. Yeah. So glad Sydney's here.
So okay. So thank you. Before we get on that.
This does sound familiar because it dates back a long, long time. In fact, it's not just the fiscal cliff that we were dealing with the end of the year that we talked about. It dates all the way back to August 2nd, 2011, which is a long time ago. It's a year and a half ago. Now, this is the first fight over the fiscal cliff. This was the big battle, some of you might remember it, over raising the debt ceiling. And the Republicans were adamant against raising the debt ceiling. Tony, we've talked about this before. Do you remember how many times the debt ceiling was raised under, I think it was Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan raised the debt ceiling 19 times.
Okay, so what's your problem with these new Republicans now that you guys will not raise the debt ceiling?
Well, the point is that we've amounted $16.4 trillion in debt.
It's a recession. You have to invest or we're all going to starve, for crying out loud.
If you keep investing in public things like what the president is trying to shove all of our money towards, we're not going to have jobs in the private sector for these people to claw their way up.
Oh, yeah, nobody has jobs because of the TARP, because of the investments that the president has made in society. Those haven't created any jobs.
Just no
like
jobs
the New
at
Deal
all.
And the for crying out. I'm not a single job. $800 billion.
Enough jobs. If you take in effect the jobs that this kind of thing has created versus the amount of jobs that we've lost, we have a net job gain of maybe a couple hundred thousand.
The president talks about this all the time. He's created a couple million jobs just in the last couple of years, just since 2010. He's created a couple million new jobs just since 2010.
But we lost.
The jobless rate keeps trickling down. It's below 8%. It's below 8% now.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, because there are still people out there who are not getting these good paying jobs because of these kinds of things. I mean, like you were saying,
okay.
We have to raise – wait. We have to cut our
– We got to cut spending and
stop
raising
revenue. We got to cut our spending.
Okay.
Because we are just throwing away money that people – you know, could be using to invest in private businesses.
So
you're raising the taxes without bringing in
enough revenue.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly. We need to bring in more revenue.
Stop.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Stop. You're tricking me. You're mind gaming.
More money, more.
What's happening is Tony's used to being on the left, and I think we practiced it that way once before. So, but anyway,
I was on the left when we did this last night.
Yeah, exactly. In December, I think you were exactly right. One of the problems is if it sounds like we're arguing again, and we sound a lot like Washington, and we sound a lot like everybody did a year and a half ago.
We're doing it well.
It's because nothing has changed in Washington.
Not a thing has changed.
So August 2nd, 2011, there was this big push to raise the debt ceiling. The Republicans said, we're not going to talk about raising the debt ceiling unless we cut spending. The president said, look, the debt ceiling is just to cover debts on spending that's already been promised. It has nothing to do with new spending. Both sides, as usual on our program, are a little bit right and a little bit wrong. They tried to compromise, and they created this committee of a dozen lawmakers, senators and House of Representative members, both parties equally split. They tried and tried and tried for a couple weeks to come up with a compromise, couldn't. And the deal was going in, if these 12 couldn't come up with a deal, they were going to have what they called sequestration. I have not a clue who came up with that stupid word.
It's from sequester, which I don't even know what that means either.
It's like quarantine.
It's
what,
like
are you going to stick the money in a room
like
where we can't touch it, like the Social Security lockbox? I don't know. It's invented.
Has that not
it's
happened already?
But
stupid
even then,
number.
We keep having to dig into the Social Security
right,
lock
and it's yeah, exactly.
For any number of reasons.
That's another aside. I'll ask a trivia question in a minute. How much you think we owe to China in our national debt? But we'll come back to that in a second. You have to the smartphone. You can go look it up and
right.
see. But anyway, the problem was they came up with this deal, the sequestration. Basically, the deal was if the 12 can't agree, we're going to have these forced cuts to both domestic programs and the military.
Now, this was important because it was going to finally dig into your freaking things that you never want to compromise on.
Sure, just go ahead and eviscerate social programs, destroy Medicare, leave people homeless under a bridge, let the elderly suffer in silence. Fine, go ahead, go there.
Look, it's not half as bad as what you want to do to our veterans, to our defense spending, and to the other things that we use to protect this country.
The U.S. spends more on its military 8 times more than any other country in the world, even North Korea with a million-man standing army, even China with a population of a billion and mandatory service. And the U.S. still spends far more than that. And you're telling me there's no waste in the military.
No. Okay. Can you imagine what would happen if you were to dig into our defense budget? You would be cutting down either the supplies that our troops would get.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Necessary
supplies.
In
the two wars we're winding down, those supplies, the ones we don't need anymore because we're bringing everyone home from Afghanistan and Iraq, those?
Okay. Do you really think?
You know how they name airplanes with numbers? You know, the F-14 Tomcat, the F-15 Eagle, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. We should call the F-35 the F-400 because it's $400 million per airplane. $500,000 per airplane. By the way, they're all grounded. You don't think we could cut some money there?
No, because when you start cutting that money, you're not actually going to cut it from those projects because those are going to still be ongoing because of contracts. You're going to cut soldiers. You're going to be cutting people, letting them off early, and you're going to be forcing them into an already economy.
Okay, well, I also think we could stand fewer soldiers without two active wars, but that's just an aside. Anyway, the point was we'd have these forced cuts, and it would force these negotiators to agree, because you see how impassioned Tony and I are getting about social programs and the military. The thinking was Democrats and Republicans were going to be that impassioned and absolutely refuse to make cuts to those sacred cow programs.
So they would compromise.
They would be forced to compromise. Exactly.
And what happened?
We got to
December 31st.
Well,
and everyone's
no. Way back in 2011, the 12 were with these draconian cuts off in the distance, still couldn't come up with a deal. And so the sequestration took effect in the future, and it was supposed to take effect last year, and then they postponed it to the end of the year after the election, conveniently.
Of course, naturally.
and that's what we ran into. So the compromise in December, and I still can't believe this happened, and it was a compromise on the president's because he wanted a lot more revenue. The president wanted to raise the top two marginal tax rates from 30% to 35% and from 35% up to 39.5%.
These ridiculous gouges into creators.
Yes, the people, see if I can, I wonder who might pay those. Bill Gates, for example, in Texas might pay these taxes, but nobody around here does. Just by far the wealthiest 1% who can easily afford another 4.5%.
Right, but these are the same people who are creating your jobs. They need to be investing into jobs that people can actually do instead of giving their money
Michael
to the government.
Flies around Austin in a private helicopter. You don't think he could afford to trim a little and still create some jobs? Come on.
Dell computers started from a garage.
I'm just saying he can afford more. He's got this waterfront castle that's over one of the big lakes, and I'm just telling you. Anyway.
So are we going to talk about income redistribution?
Well, so here's what happened. The president compromised.
Kelly rides around in Southwest Airlines every weekend, so I think he should be paying those extra taxes.
No, you don't even have to pay for your bags on Southwest.
Thank God. Bags do fly free. I never take one.
If he wants to start pushing these cuts on these other people, maybe he should start paying them himself. What do you think about 45% out of your taxes?
Thank God for, well, we're all paying more taxes and we're all doing our fair share because the ridiculous payroll cut instituted by President Bush, which threatened to eviscerate Social Security because it's the only source for Social Security funding, which he cut in half for a couple of years. Thank God that went away this year. So starting in January, we're all paying a little bit more out of our paychecks. And so there is a shared sacrifice, which is what the president has asked for all along, shared sacrifice. A fair plan, an equal mix of tax raises and spending cuts. And so that's what the president has been after. Then the Republicans did agree in December to this small increase in revenue among the very wealthy. And now they're insisting that's it. They're done. They're not interested in any more balance. And clearly it calls for some balance. So let me illustrate what's going to happen if we let the sequestration take effect. Jason, there's a clip in there from the president explaining sequestration and pay close attention, all the draconian hurtful things that are going to take effect this Friday.
Oh, Lord.
If we don't make a compromise here. If you don't.
Over the last few years, both parties have worked together to reduce our deficits by more than $2.5 trillion. More than two-thirds of that was through some pretty tough spending cuts. The rest of it was through raising taxes, tax rates on the wealthiest 1% of Americans. And together, when you take the spending cuts and the increased tax rates on the top 1%, it puts us more than halfway towards the goal of $4 trillion in deficit reduction that economists say we need to stabilize our finances. Now, Congress, back in 2011, also passed a law saying that if both parties couldn't agree on a plan to reach that $4 trillion goal, about $1 trillion of additional arbitrary budget cuts would start to take effect this year. And by the way, the whole design of these arbitrary cuts was to make them so unattractive and unappealing that Democrats and Republicans would actually get together and find a good compromise of sensible cuts, as well as closing tax loopholes and so forth. And so this was all designed to say, we can't do these bad cuts, let's do something smarter. That was the whole point of this so-called sequestration. Unfortunately, Congress didn't compromise. They haven't come together and done their jobs. And so as a consequence, we've got these automatic, brutal spending cuts that are poised to happen next Friday.
Except now it's this Friday. It's this Friday. He explains that so much better than I do. That was just a beautiful explanation. Yeah, 2 days from now, this Friday.
No. I'm pretty sure we explained it a lot better than he did.
Okay, you call him and tell him.
Maybe I will. President Obama, how do you feel about your presentation of the sequestration last week?
Mr. President, well, do you ever listen to the Devil's Advocate? Because you could learn a thing or two.
Okay, yeah, seriously, I mean, we break this down.
So, look, we've already cut $2.5 trillion in the deficit. He said we've already had this tremendous progress.
We've cut this.
He just said so.
But why is our debt still $17 trillion?
For crying out loud.
Please. There have been no cuts to our spending. And if it is, it's a tiny drop in a bucket of, like, stuff you're just throwing into our debt. Like, you're taking away maybe, like, a stack of bills and, like, dumping a truckload, like, into that big pile, okay?
Obama might secretly just be a rapper. You know how they make it rain on everybody?
Oh,
yeah, with
dollar
bills like that.
I've seen that picture.
I feel like he might be a rapper.
Okay, I like it. I don't know, maybe. Him or W, I'm not sure.
Probably
both.
Okay.
They just kind of hang out there.
And W is an artist. Did y'all see the paintings he did of himself in the shower?
I did.
Yes, disturbing. The bathtub photo, that was not what I wanted to see. So.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No. Anyway.
Okay, that's an
Sydney
aside.
Holmes with our commentary.
With the jokes.
I like it.
That's all I got.
She's the only funny one here.
So how bad are these cuts going to be this Friday? What do you think?
I think they're going to be...
Oh, they're going to be awful.
No,
they're going to hurt everybody.
They're not going to be close to enough.
They're going to cut over $100 million just from Texas. We're going to hurt education right here in Texas. It's going to hurt every single state. You want to hear how bad they are? Let's hear the president tell us how bad these cuts are going to be. So he's going to tell us what's
going to
happen.
This is going to be good coming from him.
Priority must be to do everything we can to grow the economy and create good middle class jobs. And that's why it's so troubling that just 10 days from now, Congress might allow a series of automatic, severe budget cuts to take place that will do the exact opposite. Won't help the economy, won't create jobs, will visit hardship on a whole lot of people. Now, if Congress allows this meat cleaver approach to take place, it will jeopardize our military readiness, it will eviscerate job-creating investments in education and energy and medical research. It won't consider whether we're cutting some bloated program that has outlived its usefulness or a vital service that Americans depend on every single day. It doesn't make those distinctions. Emergency responders, like the ones who are here today, their ability to help communities respond to and recover from disasters will be degraded. Border Patrol agents will see their hours reduced. FBI agents will be furloughed. Federal prosecutors will have to close cases and let criminals go. Air traffic controllers and airport security will see cutbacks, which means more delays at airports across the country. Thousands of teachers and educators will be laid off. Tens of thousands of parents will have to scramble to find childcare for their kids. Hundreds of thousands of Americans will lose access to primary care and preventive care like flu vaccinations and cancer screenings. And already the threat of these cuts has forced the Navy to delay an aircraft carrier that was supposed to deploy to the Persian Gulf. And as our military leaders have made clear, changes like this, not well thought through, not phased in properly, changes like this affect our ability to respond to threats in unstable parts of the world.
My God. Unemployment, healthcare, the border, cops, firefighters, nurses. He said educators could lose their... I could be out of work. Our aircraft carriers are going to sink.
See, that's the big problem. You, I don't know, but I mean, we're losing defense from the rest of the world with these two aircraft carriers you are putting on the chopping block. You cannot go and sink my battleship.
We have five active carriers, and one is already scheduled for a refit. And when you do a refit on a nuclear aircraft carrier, it takes some time and a little money.
Yeah,
one of those was already in dry dock, and it wasn't scheduled to come out until about 2015. So if it's delayed till 2017 or 2019, we still have other ships out there. It's active. And by the way, how many do we need, again, if we're standing down in Iraq and Afghanistan?
We're standing down there now, but you can't predict the future with the unstable condition the world is in.
Well, I love the language in his, you know, severe meat cleaver approach, eviscerate job creating investments. I mean, this is what he's talking about. These are serious, serious draconian cuts, don't you think?
I don't think it's enough.
Okay, well,
we are honestly not cutting near enough what we should be.
Wow. Okay.
We'll get into that in a minute.
We'll sink some battleships in addition to sinking the aircraft carriers. Tony has some numbers he's going to throw in my face coming up in just a minute. But first, we're going to take a little break. And remember to join us on social media: Facebook.com/TheRaider881,
Twitter at TheRaider881. This is the Devil's Advocate. We'll see you back in a couple of minutes.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, there's your dog bite, no child, no."
You know, my daughter plays violin. She's not quite there, but she's getting close.
Yeah, when she gets there, we'll have to bring her in, see if she can do a little solo for us. What do you think?
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. Yeah, welcome back to The Devil's Advocate,
not my
where
kind of
Dr.
Music,
K likes to brag on his kids all the time.
Sorry.
Annoying. Oh, God.
Oh, my. Right. He even shows us baby pictures. Like, "These are my kids.
Reminds me. Did you see? Okay, sorry.
Here he goes again. Okay. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT.
I did photobomb my daughter on a picture before she went to a dance. And now she knows I mentioned it. Don't tell anybody I mentioned that on a radio, because she'll be completely embarrassed.
So you sorry. Trolled your daughter at a dance?
No, it was like, you know, you take the picture of her in the dress before the dance out in your front yard.
Of course.
I photobombed that, so it was pretty funny. I just jumped in behind her and did a really embarrassing dad thing. It was
yes.
fun.
Did she have a date with her?
It's good fun. No, thank God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, heads would have rolled after that.
Yeah. He
seems the protective
She probably would have been in court by then, like divorcing her parents if she'd had a date, so that would have been bad. But yeah, it's okay.
I ain't got no problem going back to prison.
I'm so going to remember that.
Now, it's my turn. We're going to get back on topic instead of Dr. K's, like, prodigy kids or whatever.
Tony's going to try to explain these draconian
kids. I am going to stick it to you this time with the numbers. I actually did a little bit of homework on the other side.
We like numbers. Yeah.
I did not expect to be on the conservative side, but I did do my homework.
I'm going to
stick it to you. Now, look, here is the deal. When you're talking about the sequestration and these kinds of cuts that you want to take from, that we need to take from our budget, it is not nearly enough. Dr. K, how much of the federal budget was even on the table to be cut?
Okay, in truth, we spend $3.5 trillion a year, and about a quarter of it was up for being considered in the sequestration.
Only
three quarters of the government was off limits from the sequestration to start with.
So
what's your number? 28?
Yeah, it's 28%. Now, that the $1.2 trillion cuts is over 10 years. Now, per year, how much do you think that comes out to about to?
Sounds like about $120 billion a year.
$110 billion a year.
Okay.
So you see, that's another $10 billion you're trying to stuff in.
Okay.
Now, that is $110 billion a year.
By the way, when you go to pay tuition, do you pay 10 years ahead, or do you just pay like for the next semester?
I just pay for the, I'm trying to go semester to semester.
Sydney, have you paid your April or May or June rent yet?
Yes, actually.
Really? Oh, you did? Did you pay like a whole year out? So
look at,
what about 2014? Have you paid your 2014, 2015?
I graduated in May, so
okay,
no.
So this does still help illustrate my point, which is the government, for some reason, does budgets in 10 years so that it sounds more important. But that's another valid point.
Sorry, did I mess it up?
No, that's
we're
okay.
Cutting $1.2 trillion out of $3.5 trillion. But that's only $110 billion with a B, not a T. Now, it gets even worse.
It's a lot more money than I have in my sofa cushions, but go ahead. Okay.
Now, listen. Defense spending per year, this is for a year, is about $550 billion. The share of domestic spending facing cuts is less than that, about $489 billion.
So it's even more sensitive to cuts. Then this is why we should cut more from the military, but go ahead.
Please. Look, let me just each would be cut only about 10%, which would be about $55 billion or $48.9 billion.
So it's 10% of
28%, which is only about 2.8%.
This is reminding me of something I saw in a movie once. Let's let George Kennedy from Airplane explain it better than we can.
Doctors say he's got a 50-50 chance of living. Though there's only a 10% chance of that.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
That's a good explanation of sequestration.
That's about the best one I've had.
So we'll do
way better than the president's.
We do stake out our positions on both sides, and we do our best to argue. But you also know one of our trademarks on the show is we try to educate people. And so the point is, before you freak out completely, and I'm still going to continue to argue that these are draconian, ridiculous cuts, and I could lose my job, and aircraft carriers could sink. But
we could only be so lucky.
But we're only talking about 10% of 28%, which
so less than 3%.
Yeah, about 2.5%.
And yet they're making it sound like we're going to lose our homes. We're going to chop off all of our military. We're going to lose all our drones.
So,
you know, what are we going to do then?
So anyway, this is what we cannot agree on in Washington, which is kind of funny to me because the way my wife always puts it is, if you come up short on your budget at home, you don't spend something and you look for other sources of revenue. So anyway, we'll continue to do both of those. By the way, the president referred to 10 days from now, next Friday. That was a speech he gave
last week,
surrounded by military on, I believe, Monday a week ago. It's now 2 days away, I'll remind everybody. The sequestration takes effect this Friday, March 1st, just
you
2 days from now.
You have one day
exactly
to get ready to go
you
over.
You have
the
tomorrow
cliff
to collect your Social Security or whatever. So
yeah, run out and gather up water.
So because I'm gonna get some aspirin and a calculator and try to figure out this. There's a 50-50 chance, but only a 10% chance of that. We'll try to sort it out after this break, and we'll be back at a little bit with more Devil's Advocate here on 88.1 The Raider.
I live my life
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate here on KTXT, the Raider 88.1. Tony and Dr. K holding it down real fast.
Hey, gang, how are you?
Sydney Holmes from
Hello.
The Hub.
Hello,
she's
hello.
Joining us today, special guest.
We're coming to you from the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University.
It's really interesting to have a color commentator today.
It's fun. I love it. Yeah, Sydney should join really us great. More often. This is great. Yeah. She can make fun of both sides and us all at the same time.
I mean, invite me, guys.
She's our Candy Crowley.
Yeah, okay. So the issue here is, and we've never been able to arrive at a proper compromise, because what we need is obviously need what's called a balanced approach. The president refers to a balanced approach. That's a mix of cuts in spending and increases in taxes among the folks who can afford to pay a little more.
Please.
So that the middle class doesn't have to be cut.
You're money away from the people who give you these jobs.
Okay, give?
That is what it is. You're taking money from the jobs
creators. Are a gift from on high from the wealthy, so we have to treat them better.
Please,
so that they can hire people.
They're investing into the middle class.
Okay. Yeah, the middle class is the ones that are going to get cut.
You honestly think that the government, who plans its budgets 10 years in advance or whatever, can spend your money better than you can? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I just think we need, especially in times of hard economic times like now, unemployment, and when you guys graduate and look for jobs, you'll see what I'm talking about here.
Right.
You know,
Sydney and I are instant hires.
We need a little help. So that's true, actually. But we need, you know, we need some help for folks, and especially in the middle class.
People need a handout. They need a hand up.
Okay, they're getting a hand up.
So do we need to go to like the top of Mount Sinai and fill out our W-2 on like a stone tablet? Is that what we're going to be doing?
That could help if you have some divine inspiration. It can't
always.
Hurt. All right, well, listen, so anyway, the point is we're looking for a balanced approach, which is what the president has asked for a year and a half, all the way back to well before the election. And again, the president explains it better than I do, as he always does, because he's so eloquent. Let's listen to the president talk about why we need a balanced approach.
Now, for 2 years, I've offered a balanced approach to deficit reduction that would prevent these harmful cuts. I outlined it again last week at the State of the Union. I am willing to cut more spending that we don't need, get rid of programs that aren't working. I've laid out specific reforms to our entitlement programs that can achieve the same amount of health care savings by the beginning of the next decade as the reforms that were proposed by the bipartisan Simpson-Bowles Commission. I'm willing to save hundreds of billions of dollars by enacting comprehensive tax reform that gets rid of tax loopholes and deductions for the well-off and well-connected without raising tax rates. I believe such a balanced approach that combines tax reform with some additional spending reforms done in a smart, thoughtful way is the best way to finish the job of deficit reduction and avoid these cuts once and for all that could hurt our economy, slow our recovery, put people out of work.
Put people like you out of work. Yeah, put people like you.
More like you.
I was echoing it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there an echo in here?
He kept saying balanced approach.
Exactly.
Balanced approach. Is that like
we
our
need,
new buzzword?
We need increase in tax revenue. And, well, he keeps having to say it because it keeps not happening. You guys refuse to do anything to cut spending. You just want, I mean to raise taxes. You don't want to raise revenue.
Stop.
Okay, sorry.
In January, we agreed to your tax hikes. We let that slide. But now that you're coming back to it again, you're saying, well, we still need to raise taxes. That is not a balanced approach. Now we need to focus on cutting our spending.
Well, okay, but what about these ridiculous loopholes that let the fat cats hide their money in shelters and not...
Okay. First of all, that is a very bad way of describing these tax deductions that are approved by Congress and signed by the president. Now, I may not be an expert, but that does not sound like a loophole to me. It sounds like something that is legally allowed, encouraged. I mean, why else do these tax services push these things on you?
So I can shuffle my money around and keep more of it in my offshore account in the Caribbean.
They're trying to give back money to the middle class. If you get rid of these, I mean, ugh. Oh, you're making me so mad.
Okay. Well, anyway, the point Tony rightly is making is there actually has been a little compromise on some tax increases, and the president is just asking for. Now, Republicans were all for closing loopholes. Okay, deductions, whatever.
Deductions.
So Republicans were all for this last year, and now all of a sudden this year they're not anymore. And
because we've already raised our marginal tax rate.
Okay. So you're saying that the compromise was Republicans didn't want to raise the tax rates. They wanted instead to get rid of some deductions, some loopholes. And
no, I'm saying you wanted them both, and we're only going to let you get away with one of them.
Okay.
Because that is your balanced approach.
The fat cats can afford to pay more.
Please, you're not even cutting half enough. You know what? Maybe I should just let you dig yourself into a hole.
Okay. I just think we're looking for trouble. And the sequestration, again, takes effect this Friday without any compromise, without any negotiation. We have a real issue on our hands because we're going to see about $84 billion cut over 7 months because it's starting later this year. And I think we're really going to feel these cuts. It's time for some compromise. And look, in a time of historically bad economy and historic deficits, I think the wealthy need to step up and just do more to try to address this issue.
Like investing in a private industry instead of giving away their money to the government.
Crying out loud.
That just kind of throws it into a fire, basically.
Yeah, giving away the money that instead of paying your fair share, contributing to the helping
before
the middle class.
Before I reach over here and
creating
hit
a social safety net.
Children. Let's calm down.
He started it.
I need
oh
to.
Oh my God, you guys are babies.
Okay.
Let me put my glasses on because then he won't hit me.
We're going to take a little break. Please. I've got bigger ones than you ever had. We're going to take a little break. And then we'll be back with a special new segment we cooked up
something
for you guys.
New. We've been teasing this for a couple of weeks.
Stay tuned to The Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider 88.1.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back."
So what's new on The Devil's Act? This was Anthony's brilliant idea, by the way. I was
really excited about this, actually. So I thought that we needed to catch up because we were off the air for a couple of months. So we're going to do it in a really fun, interesting way. A
lot of topics to cover.
So we're going to call it
The Lightning Round.
So smart.
Yeah, that's not going to get old.
It's a total gift.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's going to happen is we're going to compress our arguments as fast as we can. I'm going to try to
Which
just,
is hard because we can basically argue with
the microphone so that I can just get out my
we
point.
We can argue with each other about any topic for a full hour at any given moment.
Basically.
But this will make it more entertaining because things will go
because
faster.
Because he won't shut up and admit that I'm right.
I see this going really violently, really quickly.
clearly.
Well, I mean,
good thing there are wheels on these chairs.
Yeah, right.
You're getting pushed away from the microphone.
Please. Okay, so we're going to have to hurry because we are in a bit of a time, but you know, it just makes a lightning round a little bit better.
We still have a little time left.
A little time.
So what we'll do is we're gonna flip a coin each and every round. We're gonna let 2 minutes go by. Thank God Sydney Holmes is here from the hub, TTUHub.net, because. Because Sydney's going to be our referee and help us keep time also. Mm-hmm. So it'll be good.
She's going to keep him away from me, so I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't send him mangled to class
tomorrow. definitely.
Nice. And then we'll pick a topic. What we're going to do, though, that's different, we're going to flip a coin on every topic. So we'll be waffling back and forth, liberal, conservative.
It's going to be really good.
Each and every topic, which you've heard us do before, and it's pretty fun. So what's our first topic?
Okay, we're
I'm
first
feeling
one
a little peak,
about...
and I'm a little tired, maybe a bit of a fever today. So
yeah,
does that play
to,
with our topic?
You're going know. To need Obamacare.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. Exactly. So before I flip the coin flip, and I'm still the liberal, yeah, clearly these 18 million uninsured, by the way, did you know, well, I'll save it for the debate.
Calm down. Okay. Okay. Devil's Advocate Fight Club.
Okay, I'm going to flip a coin. How does it go? Should I call it this time?
Yeah, you can
okay,
call,
heads,
I call the show.
Heads, I'm conservative. Here goes the coin flip app, except it
From
was
Apple.
Really quiet because I turned off the sound. I'll flip one more time. Oh, there we go.
At least Nuri didn't call this time.
She actually did just a second ago, but I didn't take the call. Tails, I'm the liberal again.
Okay, so...
Tony, do you know which state has the most uninsured still?
I do. It's Texas.
Okay.
Gee whiz, I wouldn't know that because I didn't do a report on that in Pete Bruton's class.
So thank God for Obamacare. So again, the rich fat cats can contribute a little bit more. And actually, everybody's going to contribute. This is a very fair system. Because of a very fair system. Yeah, because of the required penalty that you have to pay if you don't get health insurance, that puts money into the pool and it creates money for the federal government to use to pay for those folks who are uninsured to get them insured. And don't tell me it's like federalization of healthcare.
That's exactly what it is. I mean,
for God's sakes.
They even made this a war, like they pushed this through the Supreme Court by just mislabeling what they're calling this penalty. It is totally a tax.
Yeah, the wild-eyed leftist John Roberts thought this was okay. Is that what you're telling me? Okay, yeah.
This is the way this works, okay? Now, you're penalizing small business huge. You know how much of our economy is small business? Right near 90% is small businesses. Now, that is classified workers under about 100.
And so they needed help getting this program in place so that they could afford insurance. And so that's what Obamacare does.
No.
It creates state pools and a federal backup pool and sends money from the fine, the tax, into these insurance companies to subsidize it to make it more affordable for these employers. No?
No. Because here's what's happening. If they do not pay these enormous costs for premiums, which, by the way, the Affordable Care Act was supposed to reduce our Medicare costs or medical costs.
And what has happened?
It actually rose by about the same amount they were supposed to deduct. So in addition to paying higher medical costs, higher insurance premiums, if a business does not subscribe to that, they're penalized $2,000 per worker without insurance, excluding the first 30. So that means that if you are a small business hiring about 50 people, you are putting about 20 to 30 people from full-time work into part-time work. You are taking away people's incomes.
That is
the brunt you were putting on our middle class.
Why would these business owners not compromise, pay a little bit more, like the minimum wage that got proposed, the $9
ding,
minimum
ding,
wage?
Ding, 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 you two are done. Go back to your corners.
And I even had a good one, too.
What's up next? Oh, God, this topic's a little scary since we're so mad at each other.
This is going to be awesome. Okay. Next is guns, assault weapons, and high-capacity magazines.
For God's sakes.
Awesome.
This is my topic. I'm getting excited.
Is that a drum magazine for a Tommy gun? I said, jeez. All right, let me flip the coin. You call it this time,
okay,
Tony.
I'm going to go heads for conservative.
Heads, you're conservative. Heads, Tony's conservative. Heads, Tony's conservative.
We're just sticking on the same side.
I get to be liberal
time.
The whole show, and this is fun. I actually have an app for this that I'm going to go load. So go ahead.
Oh, boy. What is it, like HuffPo?
Yeah. No, okay. No. No, this will be fun.
Okay, so.
Go.
Now, gun control. I cannot believe you are attempting to take away people's Second Amendment rights. That is all this is.
Oh, for God's sakes. Look, there's reasonable First Amendment restrictions. So, for example, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. There are reasonable restrictions on the Second Amendment.
But we
already
have.
You do not need that 30-gallon drum, that 30-round drum magazine walking around on your Tommy gun to protect yourself.
Oh, please.
Is an army going to invade you?
Do you even know?
10 shots isn't enough? You can't have a 9-round clip and a 9-round
rail and protect
yourself?
Now that you mentioned a Tommy head, I mean, you never know when the UN might roll in. But look, seriously.
Judge Head.
Now, look, just because we live live in nicey-nice Lubbock, Texas, does not mean that there are not places where people will roll into your house with illegal weapons carrying more rounds than that. Places like the Fifth Ward in
Houston.
Where
do they get the illegal weapons? They take them from
the same place that they'll get the illegal weapons if you try to restrict
them. We've got to get these guns off the street because, you know, look, here's the problem. In Chicago, there are problems, and it's not because Chicago hasn't tried to do their best in restricting gun violence. It's because guns roll in from neighboring states like Indiana, Ohio, because they have lax gun control laws, and we've got to have a blanket system that universes the rules and restricts. All we're asking for is a restriction of these ridiculously enormous magazines and these weapons of war that are just unnecessary.
Is it kind of like how we got drugs off the street? Is that the same?
we've seen how much that works. You're only going to put more people in jail for. Are you thinking of even retroactively controlling these kinds of weapons? What if you have collector's guns, heirlooms, things that are important to people? Are you just going to suddenly make those things illegal too?
We can talk about different compromises, but there shouldn't be any compromise. And I don't know don't know why anybody's restrictive about taking these high capacity magazines. You know, a few years ago, these maniacs came out of a bank in L.A. wearing head to toe body armor with automatic weapons.
Oh, cliffhanger, you're done.
The hell police. Oh, for crying out loud.
Can't finish that story.
Okay, let's try one more. Okay.
Suspense.
Next is kind of a two-sided topic. The cost of college, paying for college and student loans.
Like we say on our promo, you get what you pay for.
And Governor Perry's big two ideas for fixing college education.
Wait. Governor Perry, big two ideas? Wait, say that again?
I'm begrudging to admit it.
let me flip a coin again.
Okay,
is it my turn to call?
Yeah, it's your turn to call.
All right, heads, I'm conservative. Here we go. All right, sitting heads, I'm conservative for a change.
Yay.
First time this show.
Finally, I was about to get bored.
All right, Sydney starts the clock.
Go for it.
Okay, so you can start since you won the toss.
Okay, look, two brilliant ideas from the governor who I was just ridiculing because I was on the other side of the fence. Actually, I love both these ideas. A $10,000 degree, which is a promise he wants universities to make, and holding your tuition at whatever it is the year you come in freshman year for 4 years. Two benefits of this. One, you know exactly how much college is going to cost over your four-year career. Makes perfect sense. Two, it's going to encourage you to get out in 4 years like these overachievers that are in the room with me who are going to graduate on time and not go into a fifth year. Under the governor's proposal, those tuition costs would go up in the fifth year. The colleges get their money for laggards, but encourages students to get out. And the $10,000 degree program, I love.
It's very affordable.
I don't think every university should offer this program,
you
but
don't?
I think it should have. I think it should be available in some fashion, in some form of a compromise. But I think this is an interesting idea.
As a student, I should argue with you because it's part of the show, but. I would really like to pay less for college.
And like to know how much college is going to cost when you walk in the door.
True, but do you think that possibly like requirements might go up for certain classes and certain degrees so that people will stay here longer? Can they change the degree plan?
No, I don't know that the degree program will change. In fact, I think that's set largely by the state legislature.
The degree plan that is $10,000, the degree that you get, is mostly online distance learning education. You're not staying here at Tech, and it's only offered, I think, at Angelo State. I think it's only here in the Texas.
Well, an alternative is people can start at Lubbock Christian or South Plains Community College, transfer some of those core credits over, save some money that way. Those are both options. An option is to go to a more affordable school like Texas Tech, rather than Rice, which is essentially an Ivy League school. So there are different ways to work around this and to get at, to get at the issue.
Now, look, there is one thing that we also have to address when it comes to
these. Nope, you're done.
Oh, 2 minutes.
Ding, you're ding, done. Ding,
let's
ding.
Do this. Let's take one quick final. No. Let's not take a break.
Yeah,
let's stop
no
there
breaks.
With the lightning round. We're done there. We have about 4 minutes left in the show. We have a special topic.
We actually
topic.
Set this aside.
Well, we did because for two reasons.
We have hearts on the devil's end.
You have a heart.
What?
I'm the conservative now because we flipped
right.
the coins.
So. I have the big heart.
Right.
You have the bleeding heart.
Yes.
All right. It's more fun when we switch hats during the show. I kind of like this this coin toss thing. We're going to go neutral now. In fact, we both have some stories like this. If you have not read this, I strongly encourage you to go read it on the hub, tthub.net. And by the way, you had me at the headline. Watch me bare my soul and have a panic attack. Plus, it's a brilliant illustration.
She is She is.
Sydney has seen and not only directed at her, directed at the Hub. There's abuse that appears sometimes on the whiteboards around campus with the website for the Hub. And Sydney has been the target of, for lack of a better word, some, I don't want to say bullying, but maybe some abuse, and wrote a very thoughtful, compelling, an adorable picture, by the way.
Oh,
I love the kid.
Yeah, she threw in a couple of baby pictures.
She about said herself. She about would kidnap herself from afar.
I would have. Some of her taken personal. Myself.
God, that's like frighteningly said because I have children. But Sydney, take a minute. We have about 3 minutes left. Take a minute and explain what drove you to write this, what the article's about briefly.
Well, it's about this new thing on the internet called fat shaming. And I guess I'm going to break the like one rule of radio and tell people what I look like. I've been overweight for my whole life. And it's something that has kind of become like there's been, you know, fat shaming since, you know, people
the dawn of time.
Since the, you know, 50s and 40s and whatever. But I recently became a not victim, but a recipient of this kind of.
We're targeted on Twitter
yeah,
and
on
elsewhere.
Twitter. By Seca. Yeah. There was a fake Hub Twitter that was made and they were tweeting at the Hub and like kind of trying to embarrass us and all this stuff.
Not
whatever.
Succeeding.
Jealous.
But they basically, I did an event called the Donut Dash, and obviously I'd already thought about what people could say to me about, you know, covering an event involving donuts. I'm not an idiot.
So running the Donut Dash.
And they said something along the lines of nothing like cramming down a dozen donuts and dashing, am I right? And it was just one of those things where I was just like, I cried, obviously, because I'm a girl, and that's, you know, what I do.
Well, but that's stupid and wrong and mean.
And liberal heart is aching for you.
I mean, I know what I look like, and I've known for a long time, and these people who like to, you know, put other people down and all of that business for almost no reason. Like, do you think that you're telling me something I don't know about myself?
And
you know,
flock to the
well. And is
it's
there,
true. And
is
they
there
hide
value to it. Anonymity is bad. And
exactly.
I guarantee I could find flaws instantly in any of the idiots who posted this stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't want it to turn into like, you know, everybody's being bullied, because I think bullying is necessary to build character.
It totally
you
is.
You said that earlier,
why
I thought was fascinating.
Is so important. But, you know, Dr. K's sheltered prodigy kids probably won't get it.
No, I mean, where there are kids, there's going to be bullying.
We grew up in the real world.
No, I mean, I was bullied in middle school, and this bullied is a loose term in my book, but my mom also was bullied by this guy named Paul when she was in middle school, because my mother was also overweight. She's beautiful now, but she was overweight in middle school, and she told me to call this guy Paul every time I saw him. So I kept calling this guy Paul for 3 years, and it drove him absolutely crazy.
That's awesome.
Because he just left me alone after that.
Paybacks, you know, are hell.
I'm telling you.
I got teased incessantly by a kid I went to elementary school with for having a girl's name, because my name's Kelly Coffold, and he said, you have a girl's name. And I finally thought of this one day and was so proud, and it got me beat up at a bus stop. It was totally worth it. I went, you know, Chris, which is your name, that's a girl's name too. And he was pissed off and beat me up at the bus stop, but never said it again.
That's true.
Boom.
Yeah.
But
all right. We are out of time, but please go to TTUHub.net. Look for Watch Me Bare My Soul.